Oh my goodness. What in the world? How am I supposed to follow that? That's so good. Oh, wow. I'm so grateful for that. And I feel like my sermon's already been preached today, so you all can go. just kidding. But, so yes, as you can see, the word is abide for today. And many of you guys guessed it. Good job. But I feel like that's a really churchy word. It's not a word that we use often in like everyday talking, you know, like I'm abiding with you kind of thing. Like it seems weird. So I wanted to define it for you. But I wanted to use a biblical definition, and it's to remain, dwell, or stay connected in deep, steadfast relationship. So I'm someone who's all about organization, and I'm like trying to organize this right now as I speak. So I wanted to explain kind of how I was going to break down this sermon. So there are going to be three main points, and I'll say them as we go about. And each one comes directly from our passage today. And each of them are what it means to abide in Christ, what it's like in the benefits that we get from that. And then at the end, I want to talk about how to abide in Christ. So if you'd like, turn to John 15, 1 through 4 with me. It says, I am the true vine. That's Jesus. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. And the ESV says, abide in me, as I also abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So the first point to write down is that Christ chooses to abide in us. First of all, Christ is the vine. Christ is the source of all life. We are called to abide or remain, as the NIV said, in him as he abides in us. I just want to take a second to really think about the second part of verse 4. Jesus says, as I remain in you. How amazing is it that we have a Savior who says that he will abide in us? I want to tell you guys about a really super cool part of the Old Testament. And as I was writing this, I was like, I feel like it's kind of off track, but I feel like you guys just need to know about this. And so I missed a lot of what the Old Testament said for a long time, just because I was like reading through it and I didn't pay close enough attention. And I missed this for years because I didn't understand the context. So in Genesis 15, God meets with Abraham, who's pretty much the founder of our faith. And he makes another covenant with him. This time, God tells Abraham, get a bunch of dead animals and cut them in half. Or maybe live animals and cut them in half. But they're dead at this point. And he says to place them far enough apart to make a walkway. So like if Nathan and Guffy were our dead animals here, there's our walkway. Connor suggested that I use you two. Then God puts Abraham into a deep sleep, and next a smoking fire pot and torch pass through the dead animal walkway. And this sounds super strange. It's like all it says. And it's like, all right, cool. But the symbolism is that the person that walks through the dead animals in an ancient covenant is saying, if I break my covenant, I will be like these dead animals. And usually, in this, it would be either both parties would walk through or just the lesser party would walk through. And if it were a king and like a, I don't know, high up official, the high up official will walk through because how dare you say that a king could break his covenant. Or if it were just two common folk, both of them would walk through. So the really cool part is that the smoking fire pot and the torch are symbolizing God. And God says, Abraham, you sit over here, and I'm going to walk through. So the King of Kings decides to walk through and say, if I break my covenant, I will be like these dead animals. And when you don't, hold up your end of the bargain when you break the covenant, I will still keep my end of the bargain. See, our God actively chooses to abide in us when we fail. We have a God that always gives us the opportunity to come back and abide in him, and always chooses to abide in us in return. God is always there, ready for us to abide in him again. So again, I say, how incredible is it that we have a God who chooses to abide in us? Then John 15:4 continues with, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So the point number two here is, without remaining in Christ, we cannot bear good fruit. The word abide means action. We must remain and stay connected. These are verbs. Action is required, but when it says to bear fruit, there's a very key part. You can't bear that fruit without Jesus. Pastor Steve likes to say that we are a pile of filthy rags on our best day. And I think it's funny because Connor and I's last name is Pile. So we really embody that well. Well, and Doug and Amanda, you got it too. Without Christ, we cannot find true fulfillment. When I was younger, and I still fall victim to this on occasion, I often placed my identity in what I did. I placed my identity in my achievements. My personality type is literally an achiever. It's Enneagram 3, and yeah, it's called Achiever. I always had to do well in sports, get good grades, and succeed in whatever I did. I placed my identity in what I did, rather in who God says that I am. The thing is, though, I really can't do anything good without Christ. Unless I'm truly abiding in Christ, I can't produce good fruit. In Mark 10, there's a story of a rich young ruler asking Jesus about inheriting eternal life. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked. Lost my place. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. See, this is very true. No one is good but God alone. Our sin nature says that we aren't very good. But God, because he chooses to abide in us, makes us good. When we abide in Christ, we start bearing good fruit because he is abiding in us. There are a lot of debate about faith and works in the Bible and in Christianity in general. We are told that all we need is faith, and that's very true. Yet we see example after example of how we need to bear good fruit or do good works. So what's up with that? Well, when we cling to the vine, good fruit is a natural byproduct. Our faith in Christ makes us different. When we love Christ, that love should naturally overflow to all other people. People should see a difference in us. The Wesleyan discipline, fancy. I'm in a Wesleyan church history and discipline class right now, so I have to read it anyway. So it says, on the good works section, it says, we believe that although good works cannot save us from our sins, that's true, I can't work my way to heaven. Good works cannot save us from our sin or from God's judgment. They are the fruit of faith, and they follow after regeneration, or they follow after we're saved. Therefore, they are pleasing and acceptable to God in Christ. And by them, a living faith may be as evidently known as a tree is discerned by its fruits. You can tell how closely someone is abiding in Christ by how they live their life. So, point one tells us that Christ abides in us when we abide in him. Point two says that we know that when we abide, our faith naturally starts producing good works because Christ is working in us. Well, then Jesus says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he, God, prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So our third point is that God prunes us so we bear even more fruit. Our good works can become even greater when we allow God to shape us. Us Wesleyans and many others call this process sanctification. It's the process of actively becoming more like Christ. Pruning is not a fun process, though. Pruning requires cutting out all of the junk of life. Pastor Steve talked a couple weeks ago about the word cleanse. Remember, we're supposed to do some spring cleaning. We're supposed to clean out our house. Pruning is a very similar process. When a gardener prunes, he cuts away the dead spots of a plant. Growing up, we used to have this rose bush that my parents would prune, and I believe it started yellow. Yeah. And it kind of just died off, and it was very sad. And so I think my dad just gave up, and he just cut the whole thing off. Well, the next year, it grew back way more beautiful and red, which is very interesting. So we called this the resurrecting rose bush. See, we have to cut out all of the yuck and the dead branches that are weighing us down. And when we do, when God does, we have become more like Christ. We become who we're meant to be. We've talked all about what it means to abide in Christ and what happens when we abide. But I didn't talk very well about how to actively apply this to our lives. How do we really abide in Christ? Well, there are the classic Sunday school answers that are quite applicable here, okay, guys? So, we're supposed to pray, read our Bibles, go to church. I mean, we know all of these. And just because we know them doesn't make them any less true, okay? We absolutely need to do these things, but let's go a little bit deeper. Christ begins first by saying, "I am the true vine." He then talks about believers being the branches. A branch needs the vine to live. If not, the branch dies. To abide in Christ is to depend on him solely. Every breath we take depends on Christ. Every bit of nourishment that we need depends on Christ. Every need that we have is met by Christ. To abide really means to depend. So I have with me this dead branch that I found in the back of the church yard. And here it is. So this branch is nothing, there we go, unless it's connected to the life source. So how do we abide in Christ? We rely solely on him for everything we need. So as you see the wind knocking all of these dead branches down the next couple of days and the past week, remember to abide in Christ when you see the dead branches. So how do we abide in Christ? We rely on him solely for everything we need. This means every area of our lives, our relationships. Are we depending on God to guide us in right relationship with those around us? Our everyday actions. Are we depending on God to provide a way out of temptation? Our finances. Are we depending on God to provide even when we don't think we can bring the tithe this month? Pastor Steve talked about what prospering looks like last week. If you want to prosper, you have to abide because everything good comes from God. Branches cannot survive without the vine. This branch is very dead because it is not attached to the tree, to its life source. Learning to abide in Christ takes time. It takes trusting God. The more you know God, the more you trust him. Our God is trustworthy. This is where the Sunday school answers come back in. We have to pray to know God. We have to read our Bibles to know God. We have to go to church to know God. Because God reveals himself through his people all the time. The vine is there. You just have to choose to abide. And if you haven't yet, God's word tells us that we can be grafted into the vine. Romans 11:17, Paul is talking about the Gentile people becoming part of the family of God. And he's actually kind of rebuking the Gentiles here, but it's still very applicable to us. So halfway through the verse, he says, "And you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root." What? So the really cool thing about this is that when an olive tree is dying, a gardener can take a new olive shoot and graft it into the old olive tree. And Google tells me that this technique is often used to rejuvenate old trees or change the fruit variety to a more productive one. We need new believers to revive the faith. It's never too late to be grafted onto the vine of Christ, because you bring a whole new variety to the faith. My friends, abiding in Christ is the most important thing we can do in our faith, because without him, we are nothing but a pile of filthy rags or a dead branch laying in the churchyard. Christ died so that we could have the opportunity to abide in him. We must remain in Christ. When we choose to believe in Jesus, we must learn to depend solely on him, not our actions or achievements. And I feel this one. We have a God who chooses to abide in us. We have a God who holds us tight even when we fail. A God who works through us despite our flaws. And remember, we aren't any good without Jesus. But when we abide in him, we will bear good fruit. God never leaves us where we once were. He prunes us and shapes us into the image of his Son. So to close out, I want to talk about the song Abide by Aaron Williams and Dwell Songs. This song repeats, "I depend on you," over and over again. And it also repeats, "Lord, teach me to abide." Abiding is hard, but we can't cling to the vine with only one pinky finger. We have to cling to the vine with all of our might. Abiding takes going all in. Complete dependence on Christ. I first heard the song Abide in college, and it was a song that my friend Bella would occasionally sing with her worship team when she would lead worship. And Bella sings this song so beautifully, so I wanted to invite her to sing it with me for you guys. Bella came all the way from Terre Haute this morning, and I just know that this is going to be such a blessing for you guys. And Bella really hates being the spotlight, but I just want to say that I think that she's very, very wonderful and that she's a great, great example of Jesus Christ. So I encourage you guys to listen to these words very closely and remember throughout the song what it really means to depend on Christ. Because when we do, when we abide in him, we are only blessed. We get to bear fruit. So my prayer for us all today is, Lord, teach us to abide.
Okay, little branches. You want to see God move in mighty ways? You want to have life abundant and life in the full? You want your life to utterly depend on the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the only hope that we have, to see God move powerfully in our lives and through our lives? Is every part of our body, every fiber of our being, being utterly dependent upon him, the life source, the vine? And here's the thing, little branches. If you want to depend solely on him to sustain you, then it depends on how tightly you're going to cling to the vine. The choice is yours. You can touch the branch, or you can touch the vine. As a branch, you can just have one finger on it, or barely have it, or you can cling with a death grip. Two hands, never, ever going to let go. Committed to receive from Lord God above everything you need to sustain your life. Little branches, don't let go. and you just see what the Lord God will do in and through you. Church, you are sent.